I know it's snowing outside, but when I think about these passages this morning, I think about tornadoes. When I announced to my family that I was moving to the Midwest almost 5 years ago, they stared at me for a second and then nearly responded in unison. They said, "Well, John, what are you going to do when there's a tornado?" Now, it's funny for my folks who have been lifelong residents of the Philadelphia suburbs, this was a real concern for them. And honestly, I was worried a bit too. I remember watching the movie Twister with my mom when it came out in 1996, and because of that movie, I believe that people who lived in the Midwest, especially in Tornado Alley, are just constantly running away from tornadoes all spring and summer long. So when the first spring came in my first year living in Kansas, the first threat of tornadoes arrived quickly. And that evening, I flipped on the news and saw that the entire state was under a tornado watch. And I was terrified. We did not have a basement. Amy was at work, and I was running around the house frantically getting ready for the tornado. I literally began, I'm not joking, I began packing a survival kit of granola bars, bottled water, and cell phone chargers. And then I looked outside, and the neighbors across the street were walking their dog. And my next door neighbor was out gardening like she did every other night. So then someone explained to me that a tornado watch didn't mean a tornado was about to touch ground imminently. Just meant that the conditions were a little ripe for potentially stormy weather. They did tell me that I needed to worry when it went from a watch to a warning. When there's a warning, then you need to be on high alert. Today on this first Sunday of Advent, we find ourselves on high alert. In many ways, the words of Jeremiah and the words of Luke that Donita read for us are words of warning. "The days are surely coming," says Jeremiah. "Be on guard, be alert at all times," says Jesus in Luke's passage. We are on the cusp of something that's going to change everything. Keep watch, pay attention, get ready, stay awake, and then wait. Advent begins in this tension between watching on the edge of your seats and waiting, between frantically getting ready and ordinary life. We are on the cusp of something that will change everything, but it's not here yet. And so we watch and we wait. We know what this tension feels like in our lives, don't we? We know what it means to look forward to something with great anticipation that isn't here yet. Waiting is hard. Waiting for the test results. Waiting for the pain to quit. Waiting for the next paycheck. Waiting for something new to give you hope. Waiting for good news. Waiting is hard. I've come to think of our Bible from beginning to end as one long story. And this isn't a new concept for you. Kind of like missional theology, reading scripture as a story unto itself is a trend that has become a staple of many congregations. But here's the thing. For a story that has captivated people all over the world for the better part of 2,000 years, there is a lot of waiting in the Bible. A lot of standing in line. Huge portions of the Bible might as well take place at the DMV. You know what I mean? I was there recently. The historical background of this passage from Jeremiah is pretty close to the DMV. The people of Israel and Judah alike are in captivity. Some of the people, including Jeremiah, are exiled to Egypt. But many will live in captivity to the Babylonian Empire. So needless to say, these are not good times. There is blame coming from all sides for what's happened. And everybody wants to return home back to the way that things were. But for now, they must wait. Jeremiah is a prophet. doesn't defend the status quo. He criticizes the people with political power who make the big decisions. The prophets didn't have political authority. They had spiritual authority. In ancient Israel, the prophets were known to be oracles. They were believed to receive the direct words and visions of God. And when the prophets spoke, the people listened. So when those with political authority took the people down the wrong path, the people would wake up and they would start paying attention to what the prophets were saying. And when they turn to Jeremiah in this passage today, he gives them a vision of God's promise being fulfilled. He says it like this: out of these uncertain times of captivity and exile, a branch will spring up and grow. And this new branch, this new community of people, will live with justice and righteousness in the land. They will restore our homes, our old homes in Judah, in Jerusalem, and throughout the land. The vision of old will be renewed, and the people will proclaim the Lord is our righteousness. The days are surely coming, Jeremiah says, when that promise will be fulfilled. It's a vision of hope. A fresh reminder that God has not abandoned them, even as they wait in captivity and exile. Jeremiah's message to the people is reassuring. God's promise will one day be fulfilled. The day is coming when things will truly get better, but that day has not come yet. And so we wait. We are not good, I don't think, at waiting. I often catch myself annoyed that I need to wait 2 days for my Amazon purchase to arrive at my doorstep. What an inconvenience. We live in an instant gratification, instant everything culture. Our waiting muscles are weak. Even while we wait for something, we check our email, send texts, read articles, manage our schedule, entertain ourselves all from our phones. And you take out your phone at the grocery store, at the red light, at the DMV, while you're waiting for your coffee. At no point in human history have people spent less of their time truly waiting than us. Just waiting for something to happen has been a big part of the human experience. And that's less and less the case for us and for generations to come. Now, there are wonderful things about our instant everything culture and the technology that makes it happen, don't get me wrong. But I also think there's a shadow side to it. I think there's a lot of wisdom to be gained from waiting. When we wait, it's often because we're waiting for something that's out of our hands. We're out of control. Waiting reinforces that we're not the center of the universe. We're important as individuals, but we're connected with other people. Waiting is a good reminder of our common connections with others. And that's something we can always use more of. When we have to wait for something, we have an opportunity to be in the moment. And this is the aspect of waiting that I struggle with the most. I'm always thinking about what's next. I'm a future-oriented person. A few weeks ago, I began panicking about Levi's college savings. He's only 2.5, so it's not something I probably need to panic about now. And plus, I'm praying for a basketball scholarship. Waiting reminds me that it's important to be present, to be in the moment. Because what's happening in the moment is probably more important than worrying about what may or may not happen in the future. One last aspect on the wisdom of waiting. When we wait, when we truly wait, we are more prepared to receive. Waiting is an opportunity for preparation. Unlike our instant gratification culture that trains us to consume something immediately just so we can get the next latest thing, when we have waited for something for a long time, when we have prepared for it, we treasure it. It takes on greater meaning in our lives. On this first Sunday of Advent, We join together with the ancient people of God who found themselves waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. And if we could set aside our urges for instant everything, we are reminded that waiting is not wasting time. Jeremiah's message to the people that God's promise stood unchanged even in exile and captivity meant that their waiting would never be in vain. They're waiting like our waiting had a purpose. There is wisdom to be gained as we wait, as we prepare, and as we watch for what is coming next. So the night of my first tornado watch, it was a long night. I had trouble sleeping. I kept waking up to make sure it was still a watch and not a warning. And eventually, after a couple of restless hours, I finally fell asleep. Then the next morning, I decided from that point on, I wouldn't worry about these tornado threats until the actual born and bred Kansans started worrying about them. Now, a couple of years later, I don't lose sleep worrying about tornadoes. But I'm still on high alert when the springtime sky is gloomy and the clouds are ominous, because those are the signs that something is coming. We may be waiting, but Jesus tells us to stay awake. If you fall asleep for too long, you might miss the signs. This is Jesus' message to the disciples at the end of Luke's gospel. And the message is fascinating. It's filled with all this provocative imagery of signs and the sun, moon, and stars, distress among nations, roaring seas and waves. Signs will emerge throughout the earth, but the heavens will also be shaken. And then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when this happens, Jesus says, you'll know the kingdom of God is near, like a tree sprouting new leaves on the verge of summer. So be on guard. Be alert at all times. Stay awake. Something is coming that will change everything. This brings to fruition a consistent theme in Luke's gospel. Jesus is constantly warning his disciples and anyone who will listen to him that something is coming. And that something in Luke's language is the Son of Man or the kingdom of God. And when Jesus warns people to be on high alert for the kingdom to come, he also implies that some will miss it. They won't see the signs. They won't be prepared. They'll be asleep. And they won't be ready. At first glance, the spectacular imagery that Jesus uses in this message leads us to think that he's literally speaking of grand events that we could never miss, like a tornado coming in our direction. But that's not necessarily the case. This is a parable, after all. The spectacular imagery is symbolic, but beneath it is all kinds of gospel truth that we don't want to miss. When it comes to our lives, what we are waiting and watching for doesn't always show up in the earth-shattering way we might expect. Sometimes the kingdom of God in our midst shows up in simple, small, and ordinary ways, like a fig tree that just keeps growing until it changes everything. One of the main ways that God shows up in our lives is through community. Community is an important aspect of all Christian traditions. It's an important aspect of all religious traditions in general. And the Mennonite church has a long way to go when it comes to how we do community, especially on matters of inclusion. But in my experience, we Mennonites take it to the next level in terms of how we value community. In the book Anabaptist Essentials by the Mennonite church leader Palmer Becker, which is sitting out in that library, he says that community is the center of our life. That's a big statement. As people who identify with the Mennonite tradition, we experience God in community. What is it that brings people together in community? I wonder to myself, what is it that brings us together besides making delicious egg rolls? Answering that question isn't ultimately the point. The point is that community is a kind of mystery. Think about how you ended up in this community. What circumstances, what invitations, what choices, what curiosities led you here in the first place? And think about the million other ways things could have gone differently, but didn't. You're here. You are each part of this diverse mosaic of people, this beloved church community on the corner of Madison and 56th in Des Moines, Iowa. You might write that off as just no big deal. It's just the way it worked out, you think. Maybe you have family connections to the church. Maybe it's the only Mennonite game in town. But then again, maybe you're here because you happen to be awake when the simple, small, ordinary movement of God mysteriously showed up in your life and led you here and brought you into relationship with these people and put you on the journey of this church community. And that changed everything. All because you were awake. You were ready. Friends, Jesus went around telling his disciples and everyone who would listen about the warning signs. He wanted to make sure they were ready, that they were on their toes. And like the prophet Jeremiah, Jesus knew how easy it is for people to fall asleep during the time of waiting. He knew how easy it was to lose sight of their purpose. He knew how easy it is to miss the simple, small, ordinary kingdom of God sitting on your doorstep while you're busy staring off into the clouds. He knew how desperately we all needed to hear good news. There is so much darkness and despair in our world. The skies may be gloomy and ominous now, but not forever. The first Advent candle burns to remind us that the light is coming, and so we wait, we prepare, we watch, and we stay awake. Amen.